Atheist Nomads, episode 238, Shepherd's Rod, part 2.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Lauren is also sick, and the baby is fussy, so she's not with us. But we have Mikey.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
As I'm sure you can all tell from my voice, yes, I am sick as well. I'm going to try to power through, and fortunately, if I lose my train of thought or get distracted or can't talk, Mikey is more than capable of picking up the slack. So, Mikey...
Hey, how's it going? How are you?
You're awesome.
Thanks, man. I'm feeling great. A little tired, but I've got 1.5 shots of whiskey, and I'm ready to go.
Awesome. Awesome.
It's a good day. Hi, gang.
It's been a while since we've had you on.
At least a month or two.
It was October, or not October, November. We had you on in November last. Wow.
Well, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. I really like doing the podcast. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I like to hear myself talk.
All right. So we have a few announcements.
Yeah.
We are now in TuneIn. That's the TuneIn Radio on the internet and on your phones. It is something that we should have been on a long time ago. I was sure we were.
And
then discovered, no, we weren't. So now we are.
That's super cool. All right. Yeah. Definitely. I'm going to have to make sure to get the word out on that. So we can get some more listeners in here. That's so fun.
So TuneIn, Spotify, iHeartRadio,
Spotify,
Stitcher, Google Play Music, iTunes, and of course we have our own Android and iOS apps. So if you
so cool.
Yeah. Look us up in the App Store or Play Store and we're there. Leave the S out because Atheist Nomads is too long to be an app name.
So it's Atheist Nomads.
Atheist Nomad, no space.
Okay. Atheist Nomad.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yep.
So much lonelier.
If you get the S in there or the space in there, it should still come up, but yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yep.
You could find it.
Yep, yep. We have local drama with a local atheist who a few years ago, everybody said he was an awesome guy. He owns this pizza shop. You should check him out. Lauren and I went there a few years back, and they made us some good pizza, served some decent beer.
Yeah.
We had a great conversation with Brad, and then later found out he is a complete and utter racist, creepy asshole.
Well, yeah, let's do a quick recap. I'm personally involved in this story to an extent. I've never met Brad. I've never eaten there. End of last June, Brad makes videos that he calls the Fireside Menu Chats. Brad's a Canadian guy. He's got his family that works there. And it's located in Meridian, which is city adjacent to Boise.
More Eagle.
Eagle. Yeah. So it's in the greater metropolitan area of Boise, but it's not downtown Boise. So there's a lot of people that eat there, and he has a relatively good reputation, with a lot of people. So last year he made a couple videos, and the one that popped into everybody's newsfeed on Facebook was one where he was a shark and then also put himself in blackface with big red lips. And there was some feedback from this. People like myself, I went looking through some other videos and I found some stuff that was problematic, and the conversation kind of exploded. He ended up making an apology video. And certain people like myself, I'm not a really big fan of the whole "I'm sorry your feelings were hurt" apology. Mm-hmm. Or the whole "I'm not what you see me doing on video. That's not me, even though I'm the one that wrote that, performed it, edited it, and posted it on the internet. That doesn't reflect who I am or my opinions." I don't like that apology because it seems insincere. I'd much rather you were like, "Oh my God, I fucked up. I'm an idiot." And that's how I handle that, because I'm very open with my faults.
Oh, because there's...
as a person, and there are so many faults.
If you're producing content,
yeah,
there are three ways that it can go. Either it does reflect you, you're a con artist, or it's satire.
Right. And so the defense that usually happens is this, is when a heavy racism is still considered to be a really heavy accusation in our society and not the default status through which white people just swim like fish through water. You don't necessarily see it if you don't learn to look for it. Mm-hmm. And so when you feel like personally attacked because people are calling you on saying or being something that you didn't necessarily realize was racist, it's not necessarily that they're saying there's something inherently at fault with you, just that your behaviors are reflective of a racist or prejudiced attitude. And I really do believe that when we measure from intent, that Brad didn't wake up in the morning and be like, how can I put the screws to these foreigners? Like, I don't think he's like that. And I think people instinctively defend the fact that he didn't intend to hurt anybody. But that's why there's things like accidental manslaughter. Like, mm-hmm. accidental racism is still racism. And you don't get to, like, paint that over with I didn't mean to do this. Like, it's just, right. You just don't.
A decent apology for that would be a lot more like, I didn't realize that was what it was going to be like.
Right.
I will never do it again. I am sorry and thank you for showing me the error of my ways.
Right. Or to steal from Jesus, repent, which basically translated means to turn away from. Uh-huh. So just stop. Like, I mean, if every person was more aware of the things they did that negatively impacted others and then tried to fix that, overall, we would trend towards a better society. I really feel it's like a key thing for most concept, like the spirit behind laws is basically don't be too big of a dick to each other, mm-hmm. like with loopholes. Like, that's basically it. And no matter where you come down in the conversation, it ended up getting pretty aggressive. So Brad made some questionable decisions at the end, and I'm surprised didn't get a lot more play because people got so fixated on, well, is the one video racist or not? And by and large, the people in his neighborhood said no. The blackface was accidental. The shark thing is clearly a shark's mouth. Whatever, right? So, and he made the apology. And if you apologize, people are like, all right, cool. And then and then of course, me and a few other people are like, all right, fine, whatever, man. Just stop, mm-hmm. drop out. As always, I publicly announce that I will offer my services as a social justice warrior to tell you if your advertisements are going to be racist. I have very competitive rates. I'm not going to take you to cleaners. I'm literally just going to charge you $50 to go over any amount of material in a single session and tell you what may upset which groups of people. Like, I do that as a business service. No one's ever taken me up on it. If you're,
yeah. I bet you would have taken him up on it for pizza and beer.
Well, and at the end of the day, it's beneficial to society for us not to put that kind of stuff out there because it reinforces negative modes of thinking. It reinforces all right ways of looking mm-hmm. at the world. We don't want to treat people like other. We want to definitely come at our best to be empathic and understanding as a society, to grow together towards just a better general humanity. And everyone has things they can offer, even if that's food. I have no problem. What this guy does, he's a small businessman, he makes his own videos, that's all kind of charming, and you want to get behind it. It's just that you don't get a pass because you're a small business person on paying your taxes or paying your employees. You also don't get a pass on your marketing. So, but it blew over, mm-hmm. except this guy got upset, and now I have a friend who's a bartender at a local bar, and I'm not going to say her name because I didn't ask her if I could, and she didn't make this about her. He mentioned her.
We really wanted to make it about her. I'm friends with her as well.
You bring her on.
Yeah.
And so the deal is with this is he actually went to her place of work with some friends and she works in the service industry. And so she's can't get fired. Obviously not a thing you want to do with any good job. And she does her best to offer good customer service while he pressures her to offer to accept his personal forgiveness or whatever, even brings one of his pizzas into the shop. And it was generally just a very harassing. And mind you, this is a smaller woman. Like, and I'm not saying that size has anything to do with it, but just to give you the right visual.
She's about 5'2".
She's okay.
Yeah.
And she is a military vet. Like, real talk. So it's not like she can't handle herself. It's just that he doesn't know that.
She was also working alone.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't know that about her. He doesn't know her capabilities. And I'm not comfortable with strange men coming into women's place of work to force them into a confrontation when they have no opportunity to redress or escape the mm-hmm. aggression you're bringing into their space. And I found this was the most offensive part to me because it was a willful act. I'm going to go to this woman's place of work. I'm going to harass her. And I don't care how charming you are. I'm a big enough dude mm-hmm. that he didn't even bring me into the conversation. And I was definitely more aggressive than her coming into his threads, telling people they need to stop defending this racist BS. Like, but I, of course, get ignored, even though I'm even a more public figure than she is. She's a bartender.
You're intimidating.
Well,
not,
I mean,
just size, but you don't hold back at all, and you have a following.
It's true, but also, I mean, in the spirit of, I am also conciliatory to the idea that I would have at least granted him that he was not intentionally upsetting people if we could come to a concession on the, I will definitely focus on not doing this again, which is all we want culturally, is people to stop being assholes. Like, yeah. I don't care about changing your mind. I want you to stop. We can worry about how you think and feel later. I don't really give a shit. At the end of the day is just stop making racist, sexist, horrible ads. Don't be a dumbass. That's ableist. See, I'm even working on my own stuff. Like, we all have a process we're working through, and I'm willing to give you the fact that you're working on your journey and trying to be a better human being, because that's my end goal. So now Cat Up, he makes a new video. And first off, the brown face versus it being more or less offensive than blackface. I'm just appalled that anybody who got in trouble for putting on blackface would ever wear makeup again. Like, never mind 9 months later. Like, why are you ever, as a white dude who already got blasted in public for wearing blackface, why are you like, you know what I'm going to do in this season? Literally 2 seasons later, hey, I'm going to do brownface. Puts on a giant sombrero and, if I believe, a giant, and gives himself a unibrow. Like, and the makeup job is even poorly done. Like, every single thing about this is half-assed. And then does one of his fireside chat menus with the brown face on in full heavy Mexican accent, saying things like margarita. Like, it's just poorly executed to the point where it almost looks like a parody of itself.
Yeah.
So professionally, I'm upset, as well as a human being upset. So my friend is the person who sent this to me, but she apparently didn't watch the whole video. I went through and I messaged her. I'm like, so is that you? He says her name at the end of the video, like calls her out, says hello. And I understood that there could be another. So long story short, now finally at that point, he made a brownface video with a sombrero and a heavy Mexican accent, a unibrow and every horrible racist BS thing possible. And it's been blown up on public. He did take it down. Now, this was on his personal page. And he took it down, but not before somebody saved it. So my buddy Aaron, who really doesn't care if I say his name, because he's just as aggressive as I am on this stuff, and has been going into people's things, saved it on his Google Drive. And now it's been seen, last I checked, about 2,400 times. Local news outlets are interested. Because here's the thing. My friend is a veteran, and that is an angle that we're just, is just part of the story. And people, and I hate to say this, if I just said she was a bartender, people would be like, meh. But you say the magic V word, and all of a sudden our patriotism cells are activated, and we're like, we gotta protect this soldier who can kill people. Yeah, we gotta save her. Like, whatever on that. But for real, I'm using it now. What the hell is wrong with this guy? And why is he coming after somebody like this a year later? That's weird and messed up. So even if you don't think it's racist, I really want you to consider how you feel about business owners targeting random people just because they disagree with his racist policies.
Oh,
that seems weird.
The creepy angle with it.
Yeah, it's super creepy.
He went to her place of work was alone.
With people. Yeah, brought food, tried to force her to eat it. Like,
harassed her for hours.
Yeah, at her
and
job.
And is continuing to bring it up publicly.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's bad enough as it is. Like, I know a lot of people, you know, your instinct is to be like, well, I would do this, and I, of course, I'm one of those people. But in reality, it's weird. It's so weird that you would be taken aback naturally if a stranger came into your place of work, found, like, literally, and mind you, this is just from internet conversation. It's super creepy, just as anybody, for someone to hunt you down that you don't know and then show up where you work. Like, and if you're in the service industry, you're locked in, you're chained to the position. Like, you should be allowed to, mind you, but you're not allowed to tell these people to fuck off. Now, granted, I'd come from an older generation of bartenders, and that's 100% what we would do if you just came to my bar to start action. Be like, hey, I'm calling the cops now, so you should leave before they get here, because trust me, they know my name for picking up drunks. They don't know who you are. And, but we don't, like, now we have our customer service people are much more passive because we're a horrible culture.
Right.
And, she just wasn't, I'm definitely not going to victim blame on that. She just decided to be nice. Like, that's cool. Right. But he took advantage of it, and bringing it up this late, I'm just weirded out by it. The racism stuff is still messed up, and I'm still seeing people on Facebook trying to defend this, calling it funny. It's not funny. It's not even remotely funny. I don't even say that professionally. I will stake my honor as a comedian. If that's a real thing. I'll stake every laugh line on it. Sure. It's true. It's not funny. It's not funny to be blatant. It wasn't funny when Mind of Mencia was doing it. I know people thought it was funny, but it's that his fans are still alive. And they're the ones that are on the internet right now being like, oh, it's just a Mexican joke. Can't you laugh at Mexicans? And it's like, no, what real? For real?
Yeah.
That's their defense, guys. You can make fun of these people for being, I don't know what. I don't understand. So.
All right.
Anyway, that's the local drama from Boise, yeah. Idaho. We still have racist people who support poorly racist decisions. A bigger question on the decision to do a brown face video after being in trouble for a black face video. I think at that point he's just being, he doesn't realize. I don't think he realizes the seriousness of it.
Or he was betting he'd get more publicity by being more edgy.
I don't honestly know, man. I can't get inside this guy's head because I wouldn't have made any of the decisions he made. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Want to be on his team, but he's making it so you can't. And it's also, just to sidestep a little bit, touch base on the front of it, also shows the schism within the atheist community on how we should behave is mirrored regular culture, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And that there's just people that aren't, even within our community, they're just never going to be able to agree. I'm too far left for a lot of people, and I get that.
There are atheists who are reasonable, rational human beings.
We would say that about ourselves. Yeah, our team are the smart ones, of course. Clearly, we're more educated and eloquent.
But there are atheists who are not humanists. There are atheists who are not skeptics.
Well, 100%. All you got to do is not believe in God. That's not hard to do for a lot of people. As a matter of fact, it's your default position. You start that way.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just never... Also, it's easy to fall into. Like, just not believing in something is like the easiest thing you could do. You could just stop. Right. You just stop. I stopped believing in my dreams years ago.
And theoretically, you're gonna work for that. Racism should be easier as an atheist than a believer.
One would think.
Should be. That doesn't seem to be the way it works out.
Yeah, but we also come from more similar, I think, culturally in the way we look at it. We're both former religious people, and we've had to think through our process. And I think, you know, the way that we approach it is not some of these people. I think a lot of atheists just never were, their family wasn't churchy. Mm-hmm. Or they did the whole, we only go on Easter and Christmas. Then when they become an adult, they just stopped doing that. They moved out of their hometown, or they started driving a truck or whatever. And then when they run into our atheist community, where we have this, this, if anything, overtly erudite way of doing things. Like, they say words like erudite in conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, who talks like that, jackasses? Like me. Like regular people don't use those words in conversation. You don't just be like, the economy. And we just, I think accessibility to norms, the non-nerdy atheists, like the regular Joes, mm-hmm. is the future of atheism.
Yeah, definitely.
And like, I write a monthly article in Bump Magazine, Boise Underground Music.
Okay.
P Magazine. About atheism. I just actually, the first issue just came out with my article in it, which is like, hey, I'm an atheist, you guys. And then if you actually write an email to atheist@bumpmag.org, I don't know, I have to look that up actually. We'll put it in the episode.
Yes.
Comments.
I'll put it in the show
you
notes.
You can message, put it in the show notes. You can email me questions, and that'll show up in Bump Mag.
Oh, nice.
And what we're doing is we're having a nice casual conversation about atheism with casual non-believers and casual believers. No arguments. I'm not going to be a condescending prick. I mean, this really is just about talking to people about atheism and on the street.
Cool.
And since a lot of young people, you know, underground music stuff, they're very open. A lot of young Generation Z, I think, mm-hmm. is their technical name.
Yep.
Very open-minded about discussing not believing, because a lot of them don't. They're just casually, they live in the information age. They came of age in the information age, and they're like, yeah, not impressed with mythos. So I'm trying to talk to these guys. So if you have any questions, send me an email.
Awesome. All right, let's go ahead and move on to dusting off the degree. And I am, to be honest, I'm being a little bit lazy with this one. Rather than doing any research on something new, I'm sick. I don't feel well. We're going to be going with some feedback I got off of Shepherd's Rod that we did 2 weeks ago. This is from Rob P 123451 on YouTube. I suspect he is part of the Shepherd's Rod movement, one of the organizations that succeeded it. So I'm going to go point by point. So he wrote, it is pronounced Victor Hotef, not Hutef, error number one.
Mm.
Okay, sorry, I mispronounced it.
Not Tutankhaten.
At 6 minute, 10 second mark, you say, this obviously didn't go over well, speaking of his teaching in the Sabbath school class in 1929. False. Error two, Victor's class was packed with SDA members. In fact, they requested members that he do a second class later after church services. The leaders, a select few, were the ones who did not accept the teachings put forth, not the laity. Later, Hutef was asked by the leaders to stop this class, but due to the popularity of the class, the church members asked him to come to her house the street from the church to have the class after services. It, too, became jam-packed at that home.
So this guy's nitpicking your description of something that happened in a church?
The way what I meant when I said it didn't go over well is it didn't go over well with the leadership.
Okay.
It pissed off the leadership is what I meant with that.
Well, that's fair.
So that's what I said wasn't false. He misunderstood what I said.
Okay.
Also, I would go further as to say, while some members did buy into it, a substantial number, it was still a small minority, and it never became a major movement, and it didn't supplant the major church. It became an offshoot, not a reform movement within the Adventist church.
Mm-hmm.
If it had gone over well with the membership, it would have been a reform movement within the Adventist church, not an offshoot. So I am going to go further and say, not only did it not go over well with leadership, it didn't go over well, period, as it panned out in the end.
Right.
Continuing on with what he wrote, you say in 1913, he was disfellowshipped, error number three. Are you even listening to what you say? First, you say he taught Sabbath school lesson in 1929. Then prior to that, 1913, he was disfellowshipped. Sorry, I misspoke. I meant 1931. Had a dyslexic moment. My bad.
Yeah. Do you even listen to what you say? Do you?
I actually do. I just love that.
Yeah. I just love that as a thing you can say to somebody. Do you even listen to yourself? No, dude. I say a lot of things. Words just escape.
Also, when I'm editing,
you have to listen to yourself. That's
I have
gross.
To listen to myself.
Editing is so hard.
And it never sounds right to re-record something and put it back in.
100% no.
So when it comes to errors,
you're just like,
I will
man.
Occasionally put in a correction.
Man.
If it's not obvious, if I can't edit it out, or if it's not obvious from the context that it was a mistake.
Right, right.
The context makes it very clear. 1913 wasn't what I meant. 1931
whatever,
is what I meant.
Right. Yeah. Misspeaking happens to everybody.
Okay, so.
I screw up all the time.
He continued on. You go into the point that VTH was disfellowshipped because the local church members voted for it. You then say it was not the leaders who did it. False. Error number four. You obviously don't know what transpired. The casting out came from the leaders, warning their members to not be associated with Hutef. So under pressure, i.e. you'll be removed as well, the members were pressured to go along with the leadership and not object to the disfellowship process.
He really needed to edit this down. I am getting lost in what he's trying to tell you. Listen, please cut out half your sentences and feedback from now on. Like, just sit on it for a minute, you know, go to bed, get up in the morning, because I know you have a point. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So basically, he just disagrees with everything that you said for technical reasons.
Right. And in this case, Rob P., you are wrong here.
Okay.
Because.
No, you're wrong.
Never have church leaders had the power to remove members. Ever. It always has required a majority vote in business meetings.
Like a flat majority vote?
Flat majority vote in a business meeting.
Out by one.
Now, there
You're
are...
You're going to hell now. We voted on it.
There are ways to get around that, to kind of skirt that a bit.
Loopholes.
But the business meetings, to be valid, always have to be announced in advance.
You know what our church needs? Board meetings.
Board meetings. A board meeting can't remove members.
Of course
business
not.
Meeting.
That would be ridiculous.
Right, you have to get a business meeting of the general church membership.
Man, I am not good with groups. Groups are the worst.
So if the leaders had removed his membership, that would have been a major, major scandal.
Yeah.
That couldn't be what happened. Worldwide. That is not how the Adventist Church works.
No.
Still, I don't think the leadership of the Adventist Church handled any of this well. Okay, so continuing on with what he wrote, at the 10 minute 38 second mark, you say, speaking of the church as a whole, he, VTH, didn't get a lot of support. Error number five. False. You don't know the laity support expressed back then. Mm. Victor had literally hundreds of letters written to him after this fellowship supporting him and the teachings.
They're all written by one lady named Grace.
Okay, a few hundred letters.
Just thousands. You know what? He got a million letters. 1 million. You can't prove he didn't.
At that time, there would have been several hundred thousand Adventists in the United States.
Yeah.
There would have already been more than 1 million worldwide.
Wow.
And
those are real numbers.
Those are real numbers.
Yeah.
Hi, Dustin coming in here from editing. I got the numbers wrong. In 1933, there were 143,777 Adventists in North America, that's US and Canada, and there were 384,151 worldwide.
A few hundred letters.
Just hundreds.
Is not a lot of support.
You know, I've never written a letter for anything. Good, bad, or evil. So yeah, it takes a lot to get a letter, but I get what you're saying. If it was a big deal, it'd be a big deal.
Like, for I consider...
Like, this isn't, you know, having a black stormtrooper kind of thing. This
I consider less
people write letters about this stuff.
If less than 1% are with you, that is not a lot of support.
I just don't think I don't think letters measure anything. I mean, who writes
they
letters?
They really don't.
Like, who just old people. Not to be ageist, but they're the ones who do that kind of stuff. We post tweets about it in my age group and younger, like... Can't count that. Trending on Twitter for a day is our thing, is our letters. The trend on Twitter did not. False.
By way of disclosure, what you heard is not applying to the original Davidians. At the 13-minute mark, VTH taught not to distribute literature on church grounds. This may have come from Branch Davidians and the teaching of their leader, Ben Rodden. We'll be back later to pick on this, or pick you this subject.
We'll be back later to pick you this subject. Edit.
Yeah, I fixed a number of errors already in here.
You're editing for him?
I have done some.
Just keep it real, man.
I wanted it to be easy to read.
You did a bad job. You're doing this verbatim, and I have it in front of me, and I'm like, what?
Okay, so...
sentence is my favorite.
What I saw, or what I heard from... Yeah. Grants Pass in the 1980s, it was always described as Shepherd's Rod and some other group that I don't remember what they referred to them as. There was no Shepherd's Rod group in the 1980s. I made it clear throughout the whole thing, this was not the Shepherd's Rod group. These were other splinter groups, probably Branch Davidians and one other splinter group.
Yeah.
Because Shepherd's Rod did not exist. So, not...
This guy knows a lot about this, because I was I was everything I've ever heard on the subject, is this conversation.
And finally, he wrote, people, I suggest you learn a subject before speaking about it. Inaccuracies and false ideas put forth by your presentation. I suggest to get a deeper insight, you visit our 10-part reports, where we go into the teachings of the Lord's Rod.
Nobody's
going to
do it.
We respond to the world's foremost anti-Shepherd's Rod / Davidians.
Two guys in a trailer, Rod and Bod.
Be aware that the Branch Davidians are not the same as the original Davidians from Victor Hutef, and he provides the link to a search screen for his WordPress.com site, which is Hear Ye the Rod.
Yep, gonna nope that one. Spare the Rod, free the Rod. Lord's Rod. No. Here's the thing. No one's going to do that. No, you know, I don't, literally millions of people listen to this podcast and no one is going to do that. We're going to get hundreds of letters on it. False, fake news.
Yeah, we don't have millions of listeners and we aren't going to get hundreds of letters.
I mean, we do. You can't prove me wrong. I just make stuff up.
I have stats.
No, you're false. False. This guy cares a lot about the subject. Basically, we just want you to know that this ancient story, that these people in that story did not belong to this guy's group that was similar, but not the same group. Yeah. It's like a Baptist, Southern Baptist thing, but on a much smaller scale. Like, they're not us. Like, we're still Baptists. We're just not.
Well, an even better example for
please,
time
better
comparison.
Example me. Do it.
This would be like somebody's talking about a Methodist group.
Yeah.
And then a member of the United Methodist Church saying, no, those aren't Methodists.
No, they're not the real Methodists.
That group doesn't exist anymore because it's now part of United Methodists. What happened with the Shepherd's Rod Davidians was the exact opposite. One group completely collapsed and separated out into numerous factions, which I suspect this guy is a diehard member of and considers it his personal ministry to go onto YouTube and type in a search for Shepherd's Rod.
And then sending people corrective information that they don't care about.
And then try to correct what he views as inaccurate information.
Please send him a link to this episode so he can listen to this entire conversation.
Oh, I am sure he will find it in his next search on YouTube.
I want him to get called in. I want him to know how badly his email sounds to people who can read.
As a rule of thumb, when it comes to
what a horrible thing to reference
history about an organization, I do not go to that organization or one of its successor organizations for the source of information.
For their actual history?
Because you can't trust them.
It's almost like history was written by people with a point of view they wanted to support.
Right.
Almost.
Because, like, if I wanted to look up history on the Adventist Church.
Or the American military.
From the perspective of the Adventist Church.
And how we treated the natives.
Ellen White, according to the Adventist Church, held a 20-pound Bible for an hour and 45 minutes.
We have millions of listeners.
And at one point, she didn't breathe for 11 minutes.
Sure, sure.
While in vision.
In space.
And was even examined by a doctor.
Of course.
Oh, bullshit.
A doctor
none of, that
of the faith. So ridiculous.
When you go to third-party sources, when you are looking at history about something, preferably multi-sources and drawing off of multiple sources themselves.
Yeah.
You don't go to a biased source. If you want to...
Single source anything, if you can help it.
Right.
Yeah.
When I research what a particular group believes, then I will go to that group's own materials about what they believe.
Yeah, and then the people who used to believe that, and then what they have to say about it, and then everything else that you can. Like, it's when researching a thing, you research it. Like, it's a complicated thing. You don't. This guy clearly has an agenda, and we're wrong a lot.
Yep.
About this, apparently.
Yeah.
I count two mistakes that you made at least. One, that you answered his email.
That's the first. Oh, it wasn't an email, it was a YouTube comment.
Oh, shoot. This is this whole thing?
Yeah.
The 1,400 word. Wow.
Actually,
okay, I'm less impressed now.
He split it out into two comments.
Oh, thank goodness.
He needed to take a break before he came back to it.
Maybe there's a maximum. I've left 3 YouTube comments in my life, and they were all responses to things people said about me. All of them were insults. Here's the thing. General rule of thumb, if you're a content creator, don't read the comments. I mean, you're obviously still into that.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll get over it at some point.
If I got more feedback, I would.
You know what I do? If you go to my YouTube videos under my name and you leave a negative comment, I just want to prove it. You just never see it. Everything's approved only on mine. Because here's the deal. These are submission videos that I have to send to professionals.
Right.
And I'm not going to have your half-assed armchair attempt of judging what it is that I do semi-professionally out in public. I curate the message of my own stuff. I would suggest that for you when you're ready. Like, if you get a lot of this. My old, because, you know, I 7, 8-year-old, atheist blog, bearded atheist, that I update twice a year. I still get religious people that go through and leave comments. Approve them all now because I don't approve, but they're all up for approval because why? You're going to go back on something I wrote 10 years ago and be like, well, I disagree. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
All right. Time for our first break and then the news.
Atheist Nomads is probably brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's ARCHWAY hosting.com. We're also brought to you by listeners just like you. You can find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's PATREON.com/atheistnomads.
last week we talked about Father Fosher. I know I'm mispronouncing that. I don't still don't care. I mispronounce names. That's what I do.
Fosher. It looks Fosher. F-A-U-C-H-E-R.
I think it's Fosher.
Not Foker.
Anyway, we talked about Father Foker.
Sorry, that was my fault.
Or we'll just call him Father Fucker for now.
No, I mean, well, oh no, yeah, we can. This guy, we can.
Well, we're going to call him Father Fucker. Anyway.
Father Fucker.
Yeah, a Boise Catholic priest, he got arrested, and now more details have been released. He was released from jail on a $250,000 bond and is facing 12 counts of sexual exploitation of a child.
12 counts of sexual exploitation of a child.
Yes.
So not a minor. That means like a kid. They phrase these things intentionally.
I think Idaho is one of those where if it's of a child, it means under 14.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a kid. That's a little person.
He's also getting charged for possession of marijuana and ecstasy.
Oh, wait, first off, ecstasy should be legal.
He's 72 years old doing ecstasy
with children,
or more likely giving the ecstasy to children.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Okay. Two of the charges are for child porn.
I want to imagine
that he shared.
Oh,
and great. When the cops raided his parish house at St. Mary's,
he kept child porn in his parish.
Yeah,
man.
The police found so much child porn.
Nobody has just a little bit of child pornography. Like, you're not going to just have like one picture that you just saw one day that you're into. Like, it's literally a portal. It's either no child porn or terabytes of child porn. Yep. I don't think it's not like a foot fetish, which they're not even going to call a fetish moving forward. That's just a weird secondary sexual characteristic because our species is all sorts of fucked, yo. Because that's weird shit, man. Feet are weird. This is beyond that. That's like if this were like from here to the end of the state line, like child pornography is like in another dimension. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know, you know, and I actually used to work in the prison and I met a lot of people who had been, were in prison for this. And generally speaking, when you talk to them as human beings, sometimes you tell yourself you sense something, but a lot of time it's just a dude, because I worked in a men's prison, just a dude. Who had sex with his grandchildren. And in your head, because professionally you can't treat them as, you know, any revulsion, you actually have to learn how to process that, some emotional distance. And they seem like normal people, which means somewhere inside,
yeah,
something is going on. Like, we can have a long conversation about the church and the effects that they have on people that produce a lot of pedophiles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is some cultural things that we might be able to point to, but that's pretty fucked up, man.
Yeah. Now, it is worth noting that he is not accused of creating any child porn.
I think that's a step. That's like saying, it literally is pretty much like a difference between owning snuff films and making snuff films. Like, yeah, sure. Like, you were killing people on accident, but he didn't do it on purpose. Like, if you're consuming child pornography, I just don't. Where's the high ground to defend now, that?
The key thing here
he's
is
not worse.
Okay. Consuming. Two of the charges are for sharing child porn.
Oh, so hey, look at this hot naked kid. That's just, I'm so uncomfortable trying to be like emotionally distant with this. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that like beat him up. I'm just saying like, it's just so alien and it's just part of like dealing with this as a society. It's so weird that something would happen that would create or make a person or that you would be twisted enough to find this acceptable.
Now, there is evidence that suggests that access to pre-existing child pornography decreases the chances of pedophiles actually harming children.
Yeah, yeah.
By providing an outlet.
That's an interesting conversation.
If
about,
that is
like,
what
robot
happened
sex
here,
stories and stuff.
If that's what happened here, then this kind of sucks. I suspect it's not that simple.
I also, who isn't skeeved out by somebody you know owning child porn?
Especially
like,
a priest.
Anyone? Is there anyone like Superman? I mean, even conceptually, if we knew for a fact that your favorite person in the world owned child pornography for any reason,
yeah,
it's suspect. Like, there's no moral standard that this doesn't compensate for completely.
Oh, it really wouldn't surprise me if they charged him with this and are now going to be looking for him actually doing stuff with children like so many Catholic priests have done.
I mean, it is a spectrum. Like, I mean, obviously, I think the seeking out and consuming child pornography, maybe not going all the way to the point where you're actually sexually molesting children, but you're very clearly in the foyer of Sexual Molestation Castle.
Yeah.
Like, you might not be in Disneyland, but you're in line. Like, you're close. It's weird that you're doing it.
All right. So, the Roman Catholic Diocese of Boise has said that they've never received any complaints against him.
Can we count this as one?
And that he will not be allowed to preach at the church anymore.
Well, until they decide if he's guilty or not. Yeah, obviously.
They have just decided, due to the severity of it, they won't let him preach ever again. They took child porn from his parish residence.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, until there's a conviction on the record, I would understand why any organization would refuse to make the definitive decision, even though we all know as humans, like, well, yeah, I mean, on the off chance you could somehow prove that wasn't your child pornography on your equipment and your, you're innocent. Obviously, you're not an innocent person.
Yeah. And they have also said that they did not pay for his bond, are not paying for his defense, and that they will be cooperating with the Attorney General's investigation and then doing their own investigation after the state is done.
Wait, so they didn't pay for anything. Who signs his paychecks?
Right now, Social Security.
Yeah, but I meant before.
Three years ago, it was the DSC.
Right, so they did pay for it. They just gave him the money to pay for it. Like, I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm just saying it's a weird thing to tag on. This employee of ours who has no other source of income, we're not responsible for how he spends the money, but we totally did give him the money for that.
Right, he retired. Yeah, he's been retired for 3 years. Okay, yeah.
I mean, I mean, creepy, weird priesto dude.
I do find it interesting how clearly the church is trying to distance themselves and seem as cooperative as possible.
I mean, we can't really fault them for that. Like,
oh no, not at all.
How do you, as an organization, to try to get into their heads? How do you? I mean, you're a decision maker, and this happens. That's horrible, and I'm going to assume that the average priest is as disgusted by this as we are. Mm-hmm. If anything, because it's a representation of who he is or she is as a person. I guess Catholics. I forget how sexist they are. He would be more offended because they are the same in a lot of ways. And I can imagine emotionally you'd be upset. And I would actually assume most people would feel the same way if a member of our organization. Like, for instance, we even led with a story with a guy who we had identified as an atheist, behaving in a way that we personally don't find is the standard of what we would like.
Right.
And I can imagine he would be more upset because it's much more insular, you know, like we're the church and you're a child molester. Thanks.
However, the track record of the Catholic Church with priests getting caught either diddling kids or
it's one of my oldest jokes. And I did every time this is in the news, I tell this joke again with the tag. I've been meaning to retire this joke for 10 years now?
Yeah.
But priests keep having sex with children.
Yep.
And it's not my fault. My joke keeps becoming relevant. And then every time, every few years, this happens again. I know because I keep bringing the joke back in that it literally is. And I know a lot's been written and talked about on the subject, but it is suspect something in that community or culture is either fostering or attracting the type of people who manifest this in their lives to some degree.
Combination of, if you do that, there's no pressure to get married. Because if you don't take a vow of celibacy in the Catholic Church, you are expected to get married.
Right.
And if you aren't attracted to adult women, then why not take the vow of celibacy and then gain access to altar boys?
Right. Or even if it's not as malicious, I mean, I also kind of feel like having grown up in a super virgin preachy churchy church where things like masturbation or healthy sex outlooks or any of that were never even discussed other than save it for marriage or the devil. It's possible that none of these avenues were explored, and maybe an unhealthy sexual obsession can take fertile root in ground that has not been tilled in any direction.
Right. Well, like, anybody who isn't interested in getting married for life and making babies, but is Catholic and wants to stay Catholic.
I think it would be great if you're asexual,
push that direction.
If you're asexual, that's so key. It's like, I already don't want to have sex with people of any type. And that, I think, if you're ace, would be really beneficial because you could then join the priesthood and be like, well, I wasn't going to fuck anybody anyway. Like, and now I can have a close relationship with God instead of baking. Yeah. Like a lot of my ace friends are bakers. Maybe that's the thing. Huh. I don't know. Very anecdotal, small sample size, not a ton of them, but yeah, I don't know. I just think there's something in there, and I don't know. I'm definitely not going to be able from the outside tell the Catholics how to handle that shit. But clearly, they take it seriously, and I'm not going to suggest they don't. But it is disturbing as an observer, and it's salacious, and it's local, so we're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is weird. It's like all the Republican, all the Republicans that end up having sex with male, like gay prostitutes that were also anti-gay.
Yeah,
like it's that weird. It's like, why do you guys have all these dudes? Like, it's weird because if you just join our team, you can just go fuck gay guys. Like, they're into it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know why you got to be on the opposite team here. Like, boo the gays. Like, I don't know. We like to call that the Mike Pence. That's the scandal I want for him. Gay prostitutes for Pence. Somebody take a hit for the team.
Okay. We've been having record warm weather in Boise this month so far.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it's been crazy warm.
Just 1 million degrees.
It's been, it feels like it's March, not February, and a warm March that. So it's kind of ironic that with this timing, the Idaho House Education Committee has voted to strip the K-12 science standards of all references to climate change and supporting content again.
Yeah. Start homeschooling your children in addition to public schooling.
Yeah.
What you need to do, guys, gang, is when your kids come home from school, just give them a 45-minute cool-off period. Show them some cool documentaries. Watch Planet Earth and just talk science. Stuff we did, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Nova, I think it was for us growing up, right? We watched Nova on Channel 4. And then just be like, hey, look, climate change is real. And tiny amount of people who are discussing the exact percentages, they're not disagreeing anymore on the facts of that the planet is super fucked and it's probably our fault. Like, that's most of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are like, yeah, but is it all our fault? And then some people, which is the growing majority now, yeah, who gives a shit whose fault it is? We're boned.
Because the standard answer is it is mostly our fault. And
it's almost likely our fault.
We're like, making it worse.
It's not like you can get a control group on the planet.
Right.
Like, I mean, I understand why skepticism could take root on this, but it is not general consensus within anyone who studies the hard sciences that reflect this at all. Like, we're talking, species are dying off at a faster rate than in recorded history. And we're talking to all eras.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the big, like, TK line type stuff, like or the KT line, like, it's literally, like, just dead. We lose species faster than we're finding them. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I mean, it's not weird that Idaho wants to go full Kansas on this. Just put their heads in the sand and be like, yeah, we'll just not know things. And I mean, for instance, our governor is still named Otter. Butch Otter.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he's the worst. He's a cowboy. Yeah,
he'll be done at the end of the year.
Pew, pew, cowboy.
This is his last year in office.
Good.
Yeah. After his third term.
Man.
The town of Hilldale, Utah, mostly made up of members of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has elected non-members to the city council last November. And this is the first time ever that has happened.
Now, is it because there's non-members of the church living in town? And it's just the percentages have changed?
The percentages have been changing. Mm-hmm. And now, enough that they've actually been able to... And I think there's also been a bit of members leaving town and members going to prison.
Gasp.
Warren Jeffs is an example.
Yeah.
He ran the town for quite a while.
Classic.
And so this includes Mayor Donya Jessup and three others. Jessup also holds the distinction of being the town's first mayor who is a woman.
Oh, they're electing women now. What's going to happen to the church?
And in response to this, 11 city employees have resigned.
Not a good look. Not a good look.
One even wrote in his resignation that his beliefs prohibit him from, quote, following a woman and serving on a board with apostates.
Somebody wrote that and turned it in.
Yeah.
You know, my church tells me I cannot follow a woman. I've never read the Bible. It's just, I don't. Oh, my God. Wow. It's just.
He might as well have written.
I am a chode. I'm a chode. A really hard time being like, okay, how do you get to that point in your life? You're like, I'm sorry, my God doesn't allow me to follow a woman. Really? 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 Is that, that's really?
Well, this is Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They're
backwards for even the LDS. So yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that they're not above reproach. Like, the problem in dealing with these culturally, if you don't live close to the church, and some, I'm assuming some people who listen to this won't live close to the mm-hmm. church, they have a tendency of being very self-supportive culturally, promoting people into places and positions of power and leverage, of getting themselves into things and leveraging their point of view. So living with the LDS church on any level means dealing with them in public office while they try to push their own church agenda.
Yeah.
It's a very aggressive form of Christianity, and they're very nice at the same time, which over time builds a lot of resentment, because the average LDS person you meet is actually a really nice, charming, friendly mm-hmm. person. The actions of their church, however, are anti-gay, frequently, in these cases, mm-hmm. sexist. The rest of the world is electing women. Like, that's totally a thing that we can do yeah. now. But
you have a woman for a mayor. Awesome. Right. Fine.
Also, who gives a shit who your mayor is 98% of the time?
Right.
Right. So, like, why is, like, if you're not involved in the running of your city, I don't really care who the mayor is. I know who my mayor is because I kind of half pay attention and read mm-hmm. the paper every once in a while. Yeah, just quitting your job because your new boss is a woman is, you might as well just put it down, man. Put it to rest. Go lay in a dark room until you die. Like, or what are you going to do for society at that point?
Fundamentalist Mormon, go farm?
Yeah, maybe just go churn some butter, dude, or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever it is. Just get out of the way. Like, shake your fist at the clouds and cry about women running your city into the dirt. They're electing non-church members. Mm-hmm. I didn't say non-believers. Non-church members. And they're electing women. So I'd like to think that there's more people who live in Hilldale than used to. And that a lot of these people have the internet or might not be blonde-haired, blue-eyed white people.
Actually, I would suspect a lot of them are just Mormons.
Just regular ones.
Yeah.
The non-weird type.
The less weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess
all Mormons are weird.
I like LDS people.
They're still weird.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know how we feel about that. I mean, everybody's weird.
Atheist Nomads, send us a message on our Facebook page at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Or better yet, call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. We might even play it on the show. You can also help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast directory of choice.
Oh, well done.
So, like, middle finger. there is a little community called Bayview, and it started in the 1800s as a Methodist camp meeting campground.
Mm.
But since then, it has morphed into a summer home community.
This town was founded on a church camp, you guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Solid.
So, summer home community now. Yeah. It is governed by the Bayview Association, which maintains a relationship with the United Methodist Church, for tax purposes.
It's a church camp.
It not anymore.
Mm-hmm,
it's now private, but it's still associated with the church to be tax exempt.
Beautiful.
In 1947, they added a bylaw that made being a white Christian a requirement of owning land in the community.
Sure, World War II was over 5 years ago, but whatever.
They were...
Well, three. You know, I'm bad at math today.
Two years after World War II.
Man, I really need to sleep more before
There were still a lot of Jews coming over.
I'm not a history major.
And they didn't want any Jews moving in.
For real? That was the real reason?
They didn't want any Jews or blacks moving in. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
But 1947, most of the people who made those decisions are all dead now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So then a decade later, they removed the race requirement.
Oh, good. The 50s.
Mostly 60s. Because courts were starting to invalidate stuff like that.
I mean, paying attention.
And in 1986, they decided to add a requirement of needing to provide a proof of active membership in a church. With, as one piece of evidence, a letter from your pastor is a town and that the religious test is unconstitutional.
So it looks, acts, designed, and is the feel of a town, but you have to be a Christian, no longer white, that's redacted,
mm-hmm.
Christian, and you need letters from your church leadership. Now, is it just Methodists that they're accepting, or are they a little bit more?
All Christian.
Well, I mean, at least they're open-minded to different kinds of white people.
So the reason why some of these residents are suing, one example is somebody who this cottage has been in his family for several generations now.
Oh, and he's not a believer anymore.
He is culturally Christian.
Yeah. Well,
married to a Jew.
Why not?
And his children are being raised non-religious.
That's fair.
So when he dies, no one can inherit the property.
That's beautiful.
So it becomes property of the association.
It always comes down to property, isn't it?
There's another person who is suing who is married to a non-Christian.
You're really into this story.
It's an interesting
one. It's an interesting story. I think it's pretty clear that that seems... It just seems weird that you would have a religious test to move into town. Like, that seems like the kind of thing you would make a movie about.
Yeah. Now, according to a Yale law professor that the article quotes,
okay,
this is actually kind of common.
Yeah, in parts of the country I've never been to, but sure, why not?
But
so creepy that you would do that.
Generally not enforceable.
Just people that look like us can move here, right? Oh, yeah, totally. We wouldn't want any of those, you know, words that I'm not going to say in the future, like moving in with us. And it's just like, yeah, it's got to be a white Christian man and his white Christian family and no gays or black people or Jews. Yeah, that's just...
Yeah.
I mean, I know those people were alive in history and it wasn't even that long ago. And some of them are still super old and alive right now. And obviously the next generation is still around making decisions and they were heavily influenced by this culturally. It just seems weird that at some point in the last few decades, we didn't as a group go, let's just not do this anymore.
Uh-huh.
I'll bet you $500 right now they don't have a black church, though. I mean, they got rid of the white people rule, but you know there's not a lot of black people. You don't start a city on no black people, and then they just show up.
These are summer homes.
In groups, yeah. I'm going to say they're not welcoming to people who are different than them.
There aren't a whole lot of not white people in the United States who have the money to own and maintain a summer
home. And I agree with you. I'm just saying even the percentage of people of color that could afford probably wouldn't choose the used to be super Christian, only Christians can live here group. I would say even a lot of people of color just don't naturally vibe with that, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Like their pockets of communities maybe that would move. But if they don't have a heavy farming community where you would have some migrant workers, or if they don't have like culturally, I mean, look at where it is in the country. It's not exactly versatile.
Right. Well,
it's just
you've got
people.
Except for Detroit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's a city thing. And I mean, the history of Detroit is fascinating on its own. But yeah.
Yeah, so
but the people in the poor communities of Detroit are not buying homes, like you said. Like,
exactly.
They're just not. And it's not even about, why they're there, but it's not why they're, you know.
The
I mean.
Immigrant communities in Dearborn that are Muslim probably aren't going to be buying summer homes either.
And definitely not with a bunch of Christians.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, just like a person where you're not like, hey, isn't it weird, Dad, that everybody here is a white Christian? Yeah, it's super bizarre. We're not buying this home.
Realistically, if they drop that requirement, the worst thing that will happen is a few Jewish people and maybe an atheist might buy a home there.
Well, over time, I mean, the city will just grow into something else.
Yeah.
Like more people might move there. Maybe it'll become like, it's just natural community growth and evolution. That's normal. Like I hope they lose. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of us labeling cities as not cities. Like it's just clear this is a community that people live in and you shouldn't have a religious test to move in.
Association.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the whole town.
But it's,
what's the population? Do we have that number?
That I don't.
Okay. Unknown. You know what? I bet they have millions of people. Hundreds of letters. Just hundreds.
Gloria Copeland is a megachurch pastor and co-founder of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, along with her husband.
Real peach.
And she also serves on Trump's Evangelical Executive Advisory Board.
Which is a thing.
Uh-huh.
That exists.
At least it definitely did during the campaign.
Trump's Evangelical Executive Advisory Board.
I would assume it hasn't been done away with. And she decided to weigh in on this year's horrific flu season.
Please tell me you have her saying this.
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
He redeemed us from the curse of flu. And we receive it and we take it. And we are healed by his stripes. Amen. You know, the Bible says he himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And by his stripes, we were healed. So get on the word, stay on the word. And if you say, well, I don't have any symptoms of the flu. Well, great. That's the way it's supposed to be. just keep saying that, I'll never have the flu. I'll never have the flu. Put words, inoculate yourself with the word of God.
I'm honestly surprised she knew the word inoculate. Like, I don't want to make fun of everything about her, but I do. Mm-hmm. Like, it's these are the people that Idaho listens to before they make laws.
Yeah,
like they listen to this exact type of person, and it's like, well, clearly Jesus inoculated us against climate change, and his stripes we are healed. I remember all this from church, and it's so crazy. Like, there is a lot of Christian sects that believe that if you speak to the spirit of sickness, that it can take power over you. That if you actually say, I'm sick, you give the spirit of sickness access to your physical body, which is gross and not even really biblical. They twist it. And she's speaking like this. She's basically saying that if you claim health in Jesus' name, if you claim that he healed you in his stripes, that you yourself will be healed before you're sick just by refusing to admit that you're sick. Mm-hmm. And that is literally how much science these people believe in.
Now,
it's exactly how much science they believe in.
You can get away with this kind of belief because it's cold or flu-like symptoms. Without a influenza test, you cannot say for certainty whether it is a cold or it is the flu.
Well, I mean,
unless it kills you.
It's so convenient for the culture to tell you not to admit that you're sick. The human mind is a very powerful thing, and you can be pretty sick and just willpower yourself through this. So if you and I were enmeshed in a culture where we weren't even allowed to admit that we were sick, we would reinforce that as we hung out in our fellowship. When we get together for our prayer meetings or whatever that is that you and I would do instead of this, it's totally prayer meetings, you guys. I did so many prayer meetings and Bible studies and that other nerdy Christian shit that we used to do. We would not admit we were sick to each other. I could be dying and have pneumonia, and I would literally be like, it's my asthma acting up.
And you would infect everybody else there.
Right. But there's the thing, but then you wouldn't. So in public, you would very much comport yourself as a healthy individual. Maybe even, because the human mind is amazing, reduce your outward symptoms. And then in the privacy of the car on your way home, you might be blowing your nose. But because psychologically you're so in tune with the idea of not admitting you're sick, you might not even make the connection or allow yourself to connect yourself to the sickness. I went through this growing up. And she is speaking to the people who will just go, yes, I believe that Jesus, because I mean, that kind of stuff, I get it. Jesus took on our sickness. You're basically saying right here that your dogma is no real Christian has ever been sick before. Like, and that is a disgusting line to draw in the sand, because now you're saying every person who's ever been sick, every person who's ever had cancer or has ever had a cold, all of a sudden isn't in the grace of the Lord. That's gross, Christian person this person is.
The more dangerous thing she's saying is, don't get the flu shot.
Yeah, practically.
Just pray.
But that's just where she's coming from, is she refuses to admit, because they don't look into the science of it. And it's difficult enough to get people who aren't this far into the religious forest to get their flu shots. Herd immunity is important. I'm immunocompromised. I shouldn't even be here right now. I'm immunocompromised, but I get my flu shot fairly early. Thanks to Atheist Nomads, the podcast, which paid for my flu shot. See, I'm officially a paid component now. But that's how much we believe here. The host of this podcast paid for my relatively affordable flu shot at Costco. And because I believe in science. My arm was sore the next day. That's what happened to me.
Yep.
I may have felt a little bit meh, but I was also on the keto flu, which is not the real flu.
Right. Yeah. And don't call it flu if it's not influenza.
Yeah, well, whatever.
If it's a stomach bug, don't call it a stomach flu. Right. Call it a stomach bug. Or norovirus, or something
or just
like that.
My stomach hurts. I think that covers it.
Right. Or just say
I'm not a doctor.
Or somebody asks, how are you doing? Just say, I feel pretty shitty.
Just chug cough syrup. Literally and sleep through shitty. It like a grown up. Just chug that cough syrup away. Those numbers don't mean anything. Just drink the bottle.
All right.
It's fine. I'm not a doctor.
This next one is going to be patron only. So
goodbye, everybody.
Heartwarming story that most of you will miss. Good to become
it.
A patron.
Deal with it.
Isar.
I'm glad I don't have to try that.
Are an Iranian couple with permanent residency in the U.S.
Great.
and they work as art dealers in the United States.
Oh, fun.
Excuse me, in New York, which is in the United States, of course.
Technically.
Yeah. In July 2016, they were on a business trip back to Iran when they were arrested by the Revolutionary Guard.
Ugh.
And they have now been sentenced to 27 years for the husband and 16 years for the wife for the crime of being Zoroastrians.
Well, I mean.
What? Also.
I'm guessing it's just being sexist. Yeah.
My God, for real?
Because they are... Now, there was a couple of elements here at play. They were initially arrested them on claims of security concerns. With them being
dealers,
dual
like
national.
Spies. Oh.
So, yeah. American spies.
Well, okay.
And
we do have a lot of money to pay spies off. Like
that all fell apart. They have taken advantage of some Iranian laws that make it so that you can seize the property and sell it at auction for any dual nationals.
We do that to suspected drug dealers. Like,
yeah,
pretty common internationally to just take stuff from suspects. This is mine and this is mine.
But there's a reason why Iran is the home of the Zoroastrian religion.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's true, isn't it?
And there are almost none left in the country.
A strict policy of eradication.
Yeah, especially since the
democracies where you can get to do that.
And there is a large, well, okay, large 100,000 person population of Zoroastrians in India.
Yeah, that's a significant, I mean, not compared to their population, but that's a significant group. But that's like almost half of Boise.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
It's just weird that you could get arrested. Well, I mean, persecuted for a religious belief. It is important to remember that there's still places in the world where you're not allowed the safety of believing weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. And there are some of those really old, more minor religions, like in modern terms, minor
faded
religions.
Yeah.
That the basically Church of John the Baptist, they're not Christians. They believe John the Baptist was the savior.
Wow, that's old school. Even John the Baptist didn't believe that, allegedly.
And this group at, you know, first century, second century, was bigger than Christianity.
Seems like something hipsters could be into.
And there are still adherents to this day.
Religion is so weird, you guys.
It's just this small little group now.
I belong to some weird small churches that are weird small beliefs in my childhood. We rotated churches a lot. And that's still kind of weird that you would be like, you know who's the real hero of the New Testament? John the Baptist.
Yeah.
Dude who is Jesus's cousin and said he was Jesus and then got his head cut off? Yeah, that dude. He fulfilled literally zero prophecies except the exact ones about him specifically being that guy. Yeah. Well, of course they would say that. Only my made up parts are the real parts, not yours.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, for books written a long time after the facts.
And
quote
for
facts.
A bizarre one, but this is something bizarre that Iran's president is known for doing.
Yeah.
Publishing information that would seem to go against his agenda.
Presidents are weird these
days. He's weird.
Presidents just aren't what they used to be. Maybe I'm getting old.
He released a study that shows support for the nation's dress code for women has been declining quite rapidly in recent years. And as it stands, 49% of the population think the government should not be allowed to dictate what women wear.
That's what you get for letting people get on the internet and find out stuff.
49%.
Yeah, plus minus 100% people.
They're down to only 39% thinking that women should face criminal charges for not wearing a hijab in public.
It's almost impossible with the consumption of the exportation of Western point of views, as much as we objectify women in a different way, you have to admit that we do allow women a lot more self-expression than the parts of the world that control exactly how a woman should dress.
Yeah.
And even though there are women who believe, you know, what they believe and decide to go with that, it is difficult in a progressing society where you can't just go, maybe we let the women decide. You know, if a woman wants to wear hijab or whatever she wants to do, I'm behind that because she picked it. Even if the reasons behind it are conservative or super religious, I'm not going to go tell her she can't dress like that because it affects me not at all. And I'm clearly enmeshed in Western culture. But that thought right now, and mind you, historically speaking, for the few viewers you have that don't already know this, that part of the world used to be the progressive part of the world.
Yeah.
They invented so many things that we use right now. It's disgusting how little we know about, mm-hmm. like, the laws themselves were mostly codified in that part of the world. Never mind the God most everyone believes in. Mm-hmm. And some of those habits even came from certain... I am not comfortable telling a woman how to dress.
Yeah.
And I feel like more people are on that boat. Check out the show notes and send me an email at atheist@bumpmag.something or other
mm-hmm.
or com, or just go to Bump Magazine. Like, if you're in Boise, you can pick up a copy and read it. We're actually having a discussion about atheism on the street level where you live. Or just find me on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Like the pictures of my animals
mm-hmm.
and tell me what you think about me.
Mikey's animals are adorable.
God, I only like cute things.
Yep.
I'm a really horrible person.
And remember, not all those who wander are lost.
I didn't say it this time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.